So this is the recording of what a lesser horseshoe would sound like. But we're looking for our greater horseshoe bat today.
Paul, you found the bat by chance. How did the discovery in the cellar come about?
I completed the survey of this old coach house and I said to the owner, I said, can I have a look in those cellars? Because I knew this area of Wexford is a good spot to find a certain type of bat called the whiskered bat. But I wasn't really prepared for what I found when I went down there. And we went into one of the larger rooms in the cellars and there was a bat hanging from the ceiling. And there's only one species that we get an eye on that does hang from the ceiling, and that's a lesser horseshoe bat. But we are around about 110 kilometres from the nearest lesser horseshoe roost. So I felt the hair stand up on the back of my neck. So I started phoning colleagues in the bat world and told them all I've just found a lesser horseshoe bat in Wexford, and they all fell off their seats in astonishment. Well, we went back later on thinking that it was a lesser horseshoe bat and we were going to take a DNA sample from it. And when the bat had actually moved from the larger room high up on the ceiling, we realised how big it was. And so I then had to phone all those people back again and apologise, saying that, well, I haven't actually found a lesser horseshoe bat and I'm rather embarrassed about that fact, but actually I found a greater horseshoe bat. So they fell off their seats again when I told them the second piece of news. In order to confirm the identification of the bat through DNA analysis, we took the DNA sample up to the Centre for Irish Bat Research, which is at UCD. So they gave us the great news that we did indeed have a greater horseshoe bat on our shores.
And other than the 9 species and now this potential species living in Ireland, have any other bats popped over for a visit in the same way?
There's a record of a Brant's bat, and we've only got one confirmed record of a Brant's bat ever being found on the island of Ireland. There are other anecdotal records, but we've never been able to confirm whether they were correct or whether they were the right bats that were there.
What are the odds that the bat will still be there today?
Well, the weather has been really cold nights for the last couple of weeks. But the weather forecast now is that it's going to warm up quite quickly. So there's a good chance that it might have already moved on. Fingers crossed. I'd say it's 50-50. Louise, this is Conor Kelleher, who's a fellow bat worker. He's the first person who contacted when I found this bat, so he's been aware of this for quite a while. And this is Tony Murray from the National Parks and Wildlife Service. He's the local conservation ranger.
Hi, Louise.
Hi, Conor. So how are we going to get down to the cellar from here?
It's just down the corridor here a little bit, into the dark, really, and into the unknown. We're all on tenterhooks here, like, you know, because it's such a fantastic find by Paul that the bat workers of Ireland are all cheering him on, and we've got to get this done now so we can actually progress it.
So, fortunately, Paul locked up to keep him safe and sound. That's my high-vis vest that I put down there to catch any droppings that he might have left behind, but there's no sign of anything there. So this is where I saw him here, and I couldn't, with the perspective, I couldn't tell whether he was, well, how big he was.
Yeah.
All I could tell was that he was a horseshoe bat.
The second time, was he there as well?
No, he was around the corner. We'll go there now and have a look there, so.
Exactly how you'd imagine a bat cave to be. It's dark, it's damp, it's musty.
It's absolutely, I mean, this species relies on it being like a fridge.
Why did this bat choose this one location in the whole of Ireland to travel to?
It's not too far from its home range in South Wales, so it probably picked the best place if it did fly across of its own accord, with what we think it did do. We're looking here at an old bricked up doorway. The top foot and a bit, probably 40 centimetres, has been left open. And just behind the doorway inside, there's another wall which juts out. It looks like an old chimney breast or an old adjoining wall. And this is where we found the greater horseshoe bat roosting when we came back. So I'm going to wriggle through. And if I come back up out with the thumbs up, then we know there's good news.
My heart's thumping away again.
Ourselves a greater horseshoe bat.
Brilliant.
We got him.
Very excited, yeah. You don't get to do this every day, like, you know, so.
The bat's coming out now, so we're gonna start the ringing fairly soon.
You can see it starting to move slightly.
Starting to move slightly.
The bat will be very low now, to be maybe circulating maybe a heart rate of 2 or 3 beats per minute. And as we're disturbing it now, its circulation picks up and its heart rate increases. So it warms itself up by shivering and circulating the blood, and it'll take it about 20 minutes before it's fully conscious. I'm just looking at the fur now. He's a very clean-looking individual, no scar tissue, no damage, no anything, so I'd say he's pretty young. We've only got one horseshoe species in this country, and it's about the third the size of this animal. The biggest bat we have is called Leisler's bat, and he's smaller than this guy. I'm just putting the ring on between its wrist and its elbow. So it'd be like us wearing a wristband that's able to float up and down between our wrist and our elbow. It's the same for the bat. And he's getting more lively now in my hand.
Yeah, maybe we should think about popping this guy back.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, last time.
as the bat has woken up now and he's hanging up in the corner, looking around with his face and his ears are twirling. To me, that shows that he's emitting sounds, his echolocation.
He's awake now.
So he's just checking out his surroundings and trying to figure out where he is.
What are the characteristics that let you know that that is the greater horseshoe bat?
It sounds exactly the same as our own lesser horseshoe bat, but on a bat detector, the frequency is down around 80 kilohertz, whereas our little lesser horseshoe is up around 110 kilohertz. It's a very confined area and they're probably bouncing off the walls.
Ooh.
He may come out now in a minute.
Maybe we should get out of here then.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's fully alert and warmed up now.
Thrilled, yeah, absolutely thrilled. I can't believe, well, I can't believe he was still there, but I wasn't letting myself get my hopes up too much.
We've come back, we've seen the bat with our own eyes, we've heard it. This is a pretty big discovery. What does this mean for ecologists researching bats in Ireland?
Well, at the moment, we suspect that this bat has flown across from Wales. If we can prove that using DNA techniques, or if it goes back to Wales and we pick it up back in Wales, that has huge implications for our understanding about how bats move through the environment and move between countries.
Considering we had no idea that this bat was living in Ireland until February of this year, is there a possibility there are more of the species out there?
Never say never when it comes to these animals. Because they can fly, they're just like birds. We get vagrant birds in here as well. You get easterly winds.
What do you think is the future for our potentially vagrant or potentially pioneer bat?
Well, it could feed around the Wexford area for the next 20 years. He could be happy out. But if he does that and none of his friends turn up, he's going to be a very lonely bachelor. I know it's only a vagrant bat, but there's a chance that it could be a pioneer trying to check out the territory to see if he could tell his friends to come on over, like, you know. So it'd be interesting from that point of view. Anything can happen.
Well, the Pope, he thought there was no donkeys in the crib, but we think there was a donkey because some people started believing there was a donkey. And they made these cribs that you put up at Christmas, and they always come with donkeys because the people who made them thought there was donkeys in the cribs. It was born with Jesus, and they needed to bring it, so it's so important.
And if the Pope is right and there were no donkeys, how do you think Mary travelled to Bethlehem?
I don't know. She must have walked. She could have walked, but I don't think that was true.
She might have took a horse or something.
Maybe Joseph took Mary on his back to Bethlehem, and they had a break. They had a rest in some shelter.
I think that every time they kind of felt really, really tired, they would sit down in a big bit of shelter and have a nap and then head off again.
And what did you think of the crib?
Oh, it was really nice. All the things I saw was just the animals munching away, except one of the goats.
This is the donkey called Bobby, and she's white.
People say, where are you from? I'm from Monaghan. What part of Monaghan are you from? From Carrickmacross. And I was in Spain, and a guy asked me that, and he says, there's a guard down the street, what's his name? Martin or something, isn't it? No matter where you go, there's someone knows Martin McKenna.
No uniform today.
No. It's all gone.
Thank you very much.
You're not finished yet, are you?
I am finished last night.
You'll see me
in this. For the rest.
Martin McKenna is a husband, a father, an athlete, and today, a reluctant retiree.
The reason I retired last night at 12 midnight is that I'm 60. 60 years of age today, and nobody can serve in an Garda Síochána one day beyond their 60th birthday. After 24 years, I didn't want to go into retirement until I had to. It's as simple as that. Doing something you just love, and the very next day you wake up and you're not doing it. Naturally, I feel sad and there's a void within me, but I'll deal with that in time, I'm sure.
So you have to hang up your boots at some time. Oh,
there is. And what better time to go out when you're on the crest of the wave?
That's it, exactly. You're a young man and, look, enjoy yourself. That's what it's all about.
When Martin was 18, a career with An Garda Síochána was not in his plan.
I didn't have the foggiest idea until my father was in Killinalake one night having a drink for himself, and he met the local sergeant there, and the rest is history. I was in Templemore within a couple of months, and on graduation I was posted up to Buncrana in County Donegal, and after that I went to the most northerly station in the country, Mallon, and I come from there down to Carrigans on the border with Derry City. The security aspect of the Troubles was high on the agenda. Inside, just in the road a few miles in Derry City, was rife, and it was constant, and it was bloody.
Even the priest last Saturday night at Mass, the announced it off the altar before we all dispersed after Mass. He prayed for Martin in his retirement, that he'd have a good retirement. He actually said lovely words, and that has never been done. It's a miraculous, I don't know whether you know his life story or not, but it's miraculous that he's still alive.
On the 11th of September 1984, Martin was seriously injured in a road traffic accident.
I regained consciousness somewhat, but didn't know how to name things. If I wanted you to pass me a hairbrush, I could be liable to call it a cup or a mug or a saucer. I had to learn everything all over again. My right side was all paralysed, and I was in a wheelchair as a result of that. And I was told at that time that I may or may not improve. But thankfully, things progressed. I've run 19 marathons all over the world. 5 Dublin, 7 Belfast, 3 London, 2 Boston, 1 New York, and 1 Berlin in Germany. And I can say that I haven't hung up my running shoes by any stretch of the imagination. I run 4 days per week still.
Good men is very scarce.
And they're getting costly, Junior.
As the old adage goes, horses for courses. And I certainly wasn't cut out or geared to be an inside person. I'm a farmer's son, and a farmer's son doesn't get used to being inside all that much. He's an outdoor guy.
That's the story. This is your first day idling.
This is my first day idling. My first day looking for a job, as I said.
We used to increase our chips by 10 cents every year for the past maybe 15 years. With this recession, we try to keep our customers happy. Instead of increasing our chips, they were 2.50. I brought them down to 2.40. And besides, you don't play with food. It's kind of sacred.
It just takes a long time for the general public to realise the situation, to see what's really happening out there, that the traditional fish and chips is being crippled with ever-increasing prices, with not just for your potatoes, but the potatoes is a big one. Right now, this very moment in time, the same bag of potato that we were buying last year has doubled in price, but yet our prices remain the same for a bag of chips. And one of the reasons for this is because the general public, even if you put just a 10 cent increase, is very reluctant to pay that.
If you chose to raise your prices with inflation, what price do you think your chips would be now?
Well, they would certainly be more expensive than €2.40. They would have to be in and around the €3 mark.
I like to think positive. Nobody can tell the future. A clean shop, good food, nice smile, we can't do much more than that.
A big bag of chips and the burger's gone.
Well, those listening last week will know that Louise Denver headed down to the Farmerettes Tweet-Up, a meet-up organised over Twitter, which I sadly missed. Louise wanted to speak with the female farmers there about how they've used Twitter to benefit both their personal and business lives. Well, Louise is with me now in studio. How did you get on?
Well, at lunchtime on Sunday, I met with the group of nine female farmers who hail from Cork, Waterford, Kilkenny, Meath, Carlow, Wicklow and Kildare in the dining hall of Killeen Hill in County Kilkenny. Now, this is the first time that many of the female farmers who call themselves farmerettes had met each other. So I wanted to know how they got to know one another and what they get from the relationships they've made over Twitter. But I'll let them explain.
I'm Elaine Hall at New Farmerette.
I'm Tracy Jones at Tracy DW Jones on Twitter.
I'm Jo McGarry at Cara Nurseries.
I'm Hannah Butcher at Waterfall Farm.
I'm Susanna Crampton. I have the Twitter Zwartables IE.
I'm Joanne McComish.
I'm Fionnuala Malone.
I'm Helena Fitzgerald.
I'm Lorna Sixsmith at Irish Farmerette.
With Twitter, you are behind your shop counter chatting to your clientele. I have people from Japan to Texas to Hong Kong waiting for the yarn to knit. They only know me through Twitter, but that's pretty extraordinary for a small flock of black sheep in Ireland to have such a huge following of people.
So the tweet up sounds really great fun and great crack. What other topics did the farmerettes discuss?
Well, we spoke about farming education and the fodder crisis, but the main issue of the day was female representation and, of course, the term farmerettes itself, which generated a bit of a ding-dong row over Twitter.
That.
Yeah, and that debate, you know, spiralled out into the conversations we were having. There was a debate amongst the farmerettes too. But before we got to that stage, I asked Tracy Jones at Tracy D.W. Jones about her experiences as a female farmer.
It just makes you feel like there are women out there with similar interests. I myself have always sort of been in the land-based industries, and even from sort of the age of 16, I've come across attitudes that, you know, what are you doing in this line of work as a woman? Funny little comments. When I started out, I did forestry at college, at agricultural college, and everyone I met out and about would say, what are you studying? So I'd say forestry, and they'd say, how lovely, you're studying floristry with flowers. And I'd go back, no, that's forestry, you know, with chainsaws and trees and things. Oh, I didn't know women did that. It's just nice to have women with similar interests that you can exchange experiences and knowledge, and you feel like you're in the same boat.
I initially did not want the group of women to be called farmerette. I'm a real farmer. I do all the work with my sheep. So I'm a female farmer. You don't have a doctoretti. You don't have a lawyeretti. You don't have a solicitoretti. I was outvoted. And in a sense, I understand their aspect. What it brings into focus, in Ireland, it is still seen as an exclusive male club.
So all in all, the Farmerette's tweet up was great fun and a success for all involved. It generated a bit of debate, and we're going to continue that debate over at the RTE Countrywide account at RTE Countrywide. You can follow the hashtag RTECW. We want to hear from women and men and about their experiences on social media, and as well if you agree or disagree with what the Farmerettes have said.
I might even join in myself, Louise.
Brilliant.
Louise Denver, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now,
my name is Susha. Today is on first day of school. Okay, first I went into the class and there's lots of people and friends in and family. Some friends who I know and some friends who I don't know. I was really happy to come to school today. It was so fun and cool because you can do anything in it.
I like because then you get to read the books on your own.
Little cat in the fiddle, the carriage on top of the moon. The little dog last to see, just went in the dish and away to the spoon to get married.
Colour and do letters. You get to go home at 2 o'clock. I think that's really late. You just go home from play school at 12 o'clock.
School is big boy school. My dad goes to drop me. I said goodbye to Papa. Are they lovely pictures? Hula hoop. I know how to play hoop loop. You shake it and twist it.
We're in the playground.
I like it because I like the playground.
My favourite part is that part. You need to climb up and you need to slide down.
Super awesome fun.
So fun.
At the end of the day, my teacher called my name and she gave me a lollipop and everybody got a lollipop.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Ava, how did you get on today?
I got on really, really well today.
Are you looking forward to going back tomorrow?
Yes, Daddy.
Every day?
Yeah. Not every day.
You have to go every day.
No, I don't.
Oh, I think you might have to go again.
You don't have to go every day. No. Yeah? No.
Any lessons? What lessons did you do?
Nothing. No lessons.
Teacher say you were going to do more lessons another day?
Yeah, lessons another day, Dad.